The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
True North, AM 1460, FM 101.1. The Answer, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. or via podcast.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Shining a light on the leaders and luminaries of today and tomorrow, you're listening to True North with your host, Dirk Hobbs.
Fly me to the moon.
All right, well, if you're listening to that song,
it is Saturday morning. It's 8 o'clock. It's cold outside.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to True North. I'm your host, Dirk Hobbs. It is Saturday, March 8th, on a beautiful but cold Saturday morning here in Southern Colorado. So glad you're with us. And hopefully you're enjoying that first cup of coffee or getting out and about in a brisk walk this morning with your pooches or whatever you're doing, or maybe your soulmate. Whoever it is, get out there and enjoy the wonderful, wonderful world that is Southern Colorado. So glad you're with us. Hey, I want to draw your attention to our newest edition of North coming up. We've got a person of the year that we are going to showcase, and we've also done a little mini documentary around him. He is a very prolific. We're not going to tip our hands just yet, but I want to keep you on the lookout for this because he's one of the most prolific philanthropists and leaders in our community, and we're really excited to share his story. Coming up this coming April 1st is when we launch. But in the meantime, I encourage you to go out there and get your complimentary copy of North in your mailbox every month. It's coloradomediagroup.com/subscribe. And you can go out there and just get to know all the amazing and interesting people here that live, work, and play among us in Southern Colorado. So today's discussion, I'm really excited about this on one level in the sense that we get to air this out and people in a region get to hear it firsthand. So if you're a parent in the region, I want you to pay close attention to this. I've got a very special guest in the studio. Her name is Laura Parker. She is the co-founder and CEO of an organization that is headquartered here in Colorado Springs called the Exodus Road. And you can check them out while we're talking here, theexodusroad.com. That's the Exodus, E-X-O-D-U-S, road.com. And check it out while we're talking. One of the things we have a huge passion for is bringing a sanitizing light on the topic of human trafficking with Colorado Media Group. That's one of our passion plays. For whatever reason, it just really sticks to my heart, and I know the heart of my entire team, that we just bring to light this evil because it is prolific, it is real, it has come into the United States with tremendous force, and this isn't a dark discussion today, but it is an illuminating discussion. Let's put it that way. Because, you know, knowledge is power. And if we start to understand this, we can do a better job of protecting our young souls, our children, and even ourselves from being exploited. Because we're all vulnerable at some point in life. And I think we're going to learn that at any phase in life and any age in life, you can find yourself upside down with some very nefarious folks. And so I want to spend some time unpacking this with you. And so grab that cup of coffee, hang out with us, and just listen to someone who's on the front lines of this and hear what she has to say. Laura Parker, co-founder and CEO of the Exodus Road, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm very glad you're here. I love and I hate this topic in the same breath.
Me too.
Right? Because I want to go pick a fight with these bad guys. Mm-hmm. And I want this evil to stop. And I know you do. So that's the love of it.
the hate of it is what it actually is. And so, but before we get into all the nitty gritty here and what Exodus Road is all about, let's get to know you a little bit. I know you're a North Carolina gal.
I am born and raised Hickory, North Carolina.
Hickory.
Hickory, North Carolina. I actually was a true Southerner in that when I was little, I was called Laura Lee. So I had a double name.
You had the double name.
I had Laura Lee as a double name, Hickory, North Carolina.
That's terrific.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you can't. Did you have a bow?
I mean, probably at some point in pigtails.
Yeah, we actually called them bowheads at Ole Miss because the bows were actually almost as big as their head.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's a Southern thing.
It's a Southern
thing. Southern style thing.
And you're a sweet tea girl.
Well, I was. Ever since I came to Colorado, I have.
Glucose readings got a little high.
I stopped drinking sweet tea, but it is definitely thick like syrup down there.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think I may have told this story. I went to a funeral one year down in Grenada, Mississippi. A friend of mine lost her father, and I walked into this kitchen, and there must have been, I don't know, 50, 60 women in there. That's it. No men. They were somewhere else, okay? And I walked into here because my friend was, her father was the one we were there for, and they all stopped, looked at me, and started coming at me with fried chicken, sweet tea, cakes. I mean, it was unbelievable. Anyway, I digress. Southern culture, Southern hospitality is real.
It's amazing.
It's very real and it's very fattening. So it's good to be here in Colorado where we can eat some non-fried air. Anyway, Laura, great to have you here. So your life journey started in Hickory, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Take us through to contemporary Laura.
Yeah. So I actually met and ended up marrying my high school sweetheart. We went to senior prom together, got married in college. We went to school in North Carolina, Appalachian State.
Oh, hey.
So in the mountains there. Yeah. And then we actually took a job. I was a teacher and took a job. Didn't even realize it was overseas when I took the interview. It was one of those where you apply for a million jobs on Indeed or whatever. And then you just start taking phone calls. And we ended up kind of accidentally going to the island of Saipan and the Mariana Islands and taught for a year there and then ended up back in Hickory and then ended up in a small town here in Colorado, Woodland Park, where we started having kids and had three kids every 2 years, had three kids. And my husband, Matt, worked up there and it was we were there for about 6 years when we eventually started turning our sights towards Thailand, which was our next big move. But education degree, taught for a couple of years and had kids and wrote a lot along the way, really discovered my love of writing and did a lot of back when people had tons of blogs and the season of the mommy bloggers, I was involved in that and did a lot of writing and really discovered my love for telling stories and being authentic and real with people.
So how does somebody in North Carolina find Woodland Park first before they find Colorado Springs or Denver?
Yeah. We were in Charlotte at the time in between our overseas trip and we were looking for our next kind of adventure. And he was actually applying to work at various churches and a church in Woodland Park, Colorado reached out to him and started out as a youth pastor and then ended up doing more community pastor work. And so that's how we got to the little small town of Woodland Park, Colorado. And we loved it. It was a great place to raise our kids and have young children there in that little community. And it was wonderful.
Yep. And when did you slide down the hill here to Colorado?
We slid down the hill after we moved to Thailand. Mm-hmm. We ended up living there for about 6 years. And then when we came back to really do the work of the Exodus Road, we ended up settling in Colorado Springs at that time. And we've been here for about 7 years now.
So your first intersection with that topic came when?
Probably when we saw the movie Taken.
Really?
It is what it is. That we did not.
Me too.
We did not have a concept of what human trafficking was, but we saw that movie and it was so horrific,
it's jolting,
and horrifying. Yeah. And so we started doing research around the issue but still just had a very minimal understanding of it before we went to Thailand and learned about it firsthand. But really, it was a really interesting journey into this issue. Wasn't one that I signed up for or
Couldn't have been ready for it.
Or was ever really ready for it either. Yeah. So
how did you process that emotionally when you first realized what this is?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is it's hard to imagine that human beings can treat other human beings like commodities. I think at the end of the day, it's this reality of how can humanity be so debased in some situations and so cruel to treat other human beings like they're objects to be used and exploited. And I think especially when you involve kids, there's this extra element. I think as a mom, you know, as a parent, there's something about looking at your own kids and imagining how in the world could another human being treat other human beings and especially kids in such horrific ways.
It's a neurological disruptor. I mean, if you're quote unquote normal and you want to protect your kids and you love your kids and you have no thoughts whatsoever of any of this, you see and hear this and you're like, okay, wait a minute. That's an anomaly in the space-time continuum to think like this.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. I mean, you know, we're going to unpack this a lot over the next 45 minutes. And I want you to kind of talk about the origins of Exodus Road, the story, if you will, that brought this to bear. And what was the impetus? We'll leave it with this. What was the impetus for you when you and your husband looked at each other and said, we're going to do this?
Well, there was this moment, actually, when we had, and I'll tell the story in the next section, but we had this moment where we had to decide whether to step into this work or whether to stay on the sidelines of this work.
All right.
And we were sitting beside this riverbank, and we had three kids, 3, 5, and 7, and they were playing in the river. And my husband had just had an interaction with a trafficking victim who was 15 years old. And
this is in Thailand.
This is in Thailand, yes. And we were both in tears because just the reality of what we were seeing was right in front of us. And I remember this moment of this decision, should we do this work? And we looked at our own kids. And I remember looking at my husband and saying, if this girl that you met this last weekend, if that girl was one of our kids, this Kelty, Kate, and Ava playing in the river, would we not want someone to figure it out? Would we not want someone to step in and step towards this?
All right.
And of course the answer was yes. So really it was our own kids that was the catalyst for us stepping into this work.
Stick around, folks. We have Laura Parker, co-founder and CEO of the Exodus Road. We're going to get into this story. Stick with us, because an informed parent is a powerful parent, and we're gonna break this thing down. Stick with us.
Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment, bringing you world-class concerts and events all year round. Plus, looking for a venue for your next event? Check out bootbarnhall.com. Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. See you at the show.
All right, we're back to work here on True North. It is about 8:15-ish here on Saturday, March 8th. Glad you're with us. A quick shout-out to our friends at Boot Barn Hall and Notes Live. They're the ones that are bringing us this amazing entertainment district on the north end of Colorado Springs. We are so excited for all the things they are doing and contributing in the community. And I know for listeners of AM 1460 and 100.7 and 10Q102, Lauren Daigle's coming to the region. So keep your eye out for tickets there. And, you know, can't miss her. She's got a great series of songs, and I can't wait to see her over there at the Sunset Amphitheater sometime later this fall. So anyway, glad you're with us. Laura Parker, co-founder and CEO of the Exodus Road. Folks, we're dealing with a very serious subject, but I want to take this in the spirit of empowering you to become a warrior for your children, for yourself, for your family, and for your neighbors. You know, we have a plague in our human condition here called human trafficking. And I can't think of another way to put it. It is a plague. It's a disease state, if you will. And I am personally very passionate about educating and informing people of the resources that are available to them to get to know the tricks of the trade, if you will, so that you can have an informed discussion with your children, with your spouse, with your neighbors and friends, your school, your students, if you're a teacher, or a pastor. This is one of God's greatest gifts to us, is our children. And even though it doesn't just happen to children, it happens to people in all walks of life, in all age groups, in all parts of the world. But America is soul sick. I'll say that because we have an addiction to pornography. We have an addiction to just all the demons that are out there because it is so available to us through our remote devices, our computers, and it's so prolific. So we're going to spend a little time understanding kind of how that connects to this now commodity of human trafficking. Laura, I'm glad you're with us because you are one of the great subject matter experts. You've got a global company here based in Colorado Springs called the Exodus Road. For our listeners, go to theexodusroad.com if you want to kind of read and listen along as Laura's talking. But we're going to get to know why this organization came into existence and how she and her husband, who visited Thailand with their kids, came face-to-face with it on a riverbank with a 15-year-old victim. Laura, let's start there.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had moved from Woodland Park, Colorado, to Chiang Mai, Thailand, actually Doisaket, Thailand, which is northern Thailand. And our kids were 3, 5, and 7, and we were actually there on a 2-year contract to help with a charitable foundation, a organization that ran a children's home there in northern Thailand.
Had nothing
girls,
to do with trafficking.
Nothing to do with trafficking. Yeah. It was a 2-year stint, 2-year adventure. You know, we've always had a heart to make the world better,
sure,
move towards the vulnerable. And so we thought, hey, this is an opportunity. Our kids are not in school yet. This is a good chance for us to serve the global poor. So we moved to Thailand and we found ourselves helping to care for and lead this foundation that had about 45 girls from the Hill Tribe regions of Thailand. And some of them were orphans and some of them just didn't have access to school. And so they would come into the city and they would live at this home and they would be able to go and get access to school and then go back to their villages in the summers and et cetera. And so, but one of the things that was really interesting is we started hearing this rumor from the village elders of these communities where these girls came from. And they started saying, there are no pretty girls in the village. That's a terrible thing to say. Yeah, and what
random.
In the world, there are no pretty girls in the village. And we started asking these questions. What do you mean there are no pretty girls in the village? And we started hearing this story that men would come into these remote villages and hill tribe regions in Thailand, and they would offer the young girls ages 14 through 17-ish jobs. And they would bring out their phones and they would show Facebook pages of restaurants. And they would say to the parents, you know, these 4 girls can come with us and they'll work for 6 months down in Bangkok at this really nice hotel or this really nice restaurant. Here's a picture of it on the phone. And then we'll make sure they get on a bus and they can come back to you in 3 months. And for the parents who were desperately poor and trying to feed 5 children on, you know, rice for 3, thought it was an opportunity, just like we would send our kids to study abroad or something like that. And so they would put their girls in with these men and they would disappear. And it actually was, traffickers that were coming into these remote villages. And these girls, these daughters were getting lost forever
were
getting so abused in the red light districts that they would never return because of shame, or they were sold into this horrific abuse that eventually became, you know, a lifestyle that they never returned home or what have you. And so we started hearing this story, especially because these were the sisters and the cousins and the community members from the girls that we were actually looking after with this foundation. And so my husband went to a meeting group that had about 40 or 50 nonprofits there throughout Thailand who were all working in anti-human trafficking. And again, this was not something that was on our radar, but we thought, mm-hmm. We've heard this story. Is this a way we could help? And at this particular group, the organizer said, okay, I want all the organizations in prevention to go on this side of the room and all the organizations in aftercare go on this side of the room and all the organizations that are working with police and intervention go here in the middle. And my husband, Matt, said it was like it was the parting of the Red Sea. Like everyone went to prevention and aftercare. And there was one person at the intervention, you know, bucket.
Wow.
And so he said, well, I don't have a dog in this fight anyway. I actually don't have a lot of information here. I'll just go and try to serve the intervention research committee. And, and it ended up being a research team that worked for about a year building relationships with police and just learning at the time. And again, this was about 15 years ago, learning what was actually being done to support police in finding the current victims of human trafficking in Thailand and working to free them and also arrest their traffickers, which is a huge component of actually affecting change. And so he began working with this particular gentleman, a police officer, Thai police officer that was in charge of all human trafficking cases in the north, and eventually got asked to go undercover.
Your husband did.
My husband eventually got asked to go undercover.
He's not a cop.
He's not a cop, a youth pastor, but no one else would go. It was really this moment where
he must have been excited, kind of.
Where no one else would go. And so he goes in, and really it's just verifying information. There was a tip that minors were being sold. And so he went in and started building a relationship with the bar owner and brought that information back to this police officer that he had gotten to know in this research committee. And that was the weekend where we had that conversation beside the river where we were looking at our kids, and he had met this 15-year-old. And from there, he actually asked the officer, would it be helpful for me to do this? Surely you have other people who can go into these red light districts and identify minors. And the cop said, Matt, everyone likes to talk about human trafficking. No one's willing to do what you just said. I have no one. And so he deputized him as an undercover informant. And that's how the journey into the darkness for us really began.
Mm. Slow things down for me for a second. Have you and your husband ever talked about that moment when he first witnessed a transaction of another human being?
Oh, he's witnessed thousands of those transactions.
I'm sure by now thousands, but that first time.
The very first one, yeah, it was this 15-year-old. Her nickname was Watermelon Tangmu in Thai. And again, because he was a youth pastor, he was used to 15, you know, working with youth
kids
in the community.
Right.
And you know, it's in the bars in Thailand, those sales are typically to older white men.
Right,
and so the horror of that playing out in real time right in front of you.
Right in front of him.
Is incredibly heartbreaking on every level. And that's what found us in tears beside the riverbank, because one of the things was this fear that we could handle the truth of what the darkness is and the cost of that and what that would mean to our marriage and what that would mean to our mental health and what that would mean to just our stories, but then just thinking, but these people are suffering the actual abuse. Surely we can have the courage to at least look at it and step in and try to impact it somehow. So
how did you gird your marriage? How did you gird your soul from this poison?
Yeah, that's like another 3-hour conversation. we have had a lot of counseling. I mean, we have early on, we have had a lot of counseling, and still today invest a lot in good therapy.
Well, yeah,
another thing.
To.
Yeah. Another
you
thing
wash
we
this
did.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing we have done since the early days is we've always said, hey, you're going into these dark places and it's not fair for me to leave you there alone.
That's
or
right.
to get mad at you for what you see or how, what you endure in those places. So from the very early days, we actually started mapping out, different cities and identifying minors for the Thai police officers. And Matt didn't have anyone to go with him. So I was actually his handler in some ways. So I was actually the one tracking him. Back then it was Skype, but I was tracking his location, and then he would come home and the next morning I would watch all of his undercover footage. And so it was a way that I could in essence be there with him in it and not leave him alone to see what he saw. And
Well, if you're not engaged now, folks, you never will be. So we're hanging out with Laura Parker, co-founder and CEO of The Exodus Road. Go out to their website, theexodusroad.com, and start reading along with this conversation that we're having with her in real time. We're going to get into some of the programs and some of the outcomes. So there, you know, there's silver linings, but there's still a lot of work to do here, folks. And I want to equip you with the tools and the knowledge and awareness so you can start to see the signs of whether or not your child or a friend or a spouse or someone that you know has been exposed to these predators. Back in a moment.
The news and events that matter to you. AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
All right, we're back here, second half, True North. I am your host, Dirk Hobbs. I'm hanging out with Laura Parker, co-founder and CEO of the Exodus Road. These folks are in it to win it, for lack of a better phrase. We're talking about the topic of human trafficking and sex trafficking. And folks, it is a very real topic. It happens here in Southern Colorado. It happens all around the world. It's not just Liam Neeson's depiction of it, although I have to give him credit in that whole group for launching that series, because that had to be a very unpopular conversation in Hollywood. You know, who wants to watch this exploitation of kids? Well, if we didn't, right, then we probably wouldn't be talking about it as prolifically as we are today. So I'm glad they did it. And then subsequent to that, we've had tremendous efforts by world-class actors and philanthropists who also want to stop this evil. Jim Caviezel and his group, and there's dozens and dozens and dozens, and there can't be enough. We have to outpopulate these folks, you know, to put a fence around them and finally put them away for good. So, Laura, welcome back.
Thanks.
So glad you're here. You've told us a little bit about your personal journey, and then you and your husband moving into this realm off a personal experience you had in Thailand. I would love for you to illustrate what your first rescue looked like.
Yeah, it was a girl by the name of Sarah.
Sarah, okay.
Yep, and she was in southern Thailand, a city called Hat Yai, Thailand. Mm-hmm. And my husband was there doing undercover work with another operative. And they found Sarah. She's 15. She had been sold. Her virginity actually had been sold just 3 days before for $600 to pay off a debt that her mother owed in Burma. And so the first time that my husband met her was undercover. And it was really heartbreaking because on the footage, you could see her coming in and she was in street clothes. All the other girls in the brothel were in, were dressed up, and she was in street clothes, and she was sitting there and she was just fidgeting with this napkin and little pieces of it were falling to the floor. And you just saw on the undercover footage this big older Thai guy that was making fun of her because she didn't understand the language, and he was bartering for her. And it ended up that the undercover operative that Matt was with ended up getting footage of her actual sale, and actually he ended up doing something that typically we don't do undercover, which was he broke cover and he just said, "Can we help you get out of here?" And she actually wrote on a Thai bot bill, "Please rescue me," and in Burmese. But she was afraid, and it's a long story. But I remember it was the first time we had been in undercover work for about a year, and it had been heartbreaking, and we had learned a lot, but we still hadn't seen an actual rescue because of corruption, and different cases would get to a point and then they would fall apart. But there was something about Sarah and her specific case that especially just gave us both, Matt and I, this urgency. And so it ended up taking three different times because the actual sting operation was tipped off three different times by corrupt officials. The third time that we actually went in, they took all of the cell phones from the law officers so that no one could tip off the brothel owner. Mm-hmm. And they ended up getting out Sarah along with seven other minors that were being sold multiple times a day for sex. And that was our first rescue operation. It was this first reminder or hope that maybe the work in the undercover space assisting police could actually push something forward and start affecting things. So that was our first operation, and there's been almost 2,500 victim rescues since then.
When was this?
That was in 2012.
Mm-hmm. And you've rescued approximately 2,500.
Yep. Yeah. With police. Yes.
With police. Okay. All women?
No, no. A lot of men actually in labor trafficking. We also do labor trafficking work. And actually in Thailand, we actually have a pretty strong emphasis on young boys that are trafficked for sex, because that's a growing reality there.
A growing perversion, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a growing reality there. And so we have a lot of young teenage boys that are being sold for sex there that we work to free.
So as you guys are coming back from Thailand and you're thinking of what are we going to do with this, next steps, is this where the Exodus Road kind of emerges for you?
It is. You know, we were actually overseas, and it was actually before Sarah was removed from abuse, before she was rescued. But we started thinking, you know, what if we could start something that would be a path out of slavery, right? Mm-hmm. The Exodus story. What is a path out of slavery? A road. How do we help identify the people that are currently enslaved and work to free them? And so we actually launched the Exodus Road there in Thailand officially, but then eventually moved back to Colorado Springs and set up the headquarters office and all of that. Mm-hmm. But along the way, we started, just because of our learning that first year, we started learning, okay, what does law enforcement need? How can we resource them? How can we support them? How can we collaborate with them? How can we supply technology to them? We started giving them undercover cameras and GPS tracking devices, and that technology support has really extended. Now we're giving Cellebrite devices, which is mobile forensics devices, and we can do open source intelligence scraping. And so our tech support of law enforcement has really increased over the years. But we started going to other countries and identifying national leaders who are doing the work on the front lines and coming alongside them. And eventually, over, you know, about a decade, now we're in India, the Philippines, Latin America, Brazil, Thailand, of course, and then the United States. So mm-hmm. we've really seen it. We've seen our footprint grow.
Indeed. But you are doing law enforcement work here as well.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yep, we're doing law enforcement work here as well. And our program has really grown. You know, the first 8 years, we just did intervention work.
Right.
Just focused on that. And that's really what we're known for. That's what we have real expertise in the space. But in the last 3 to 4 years, we actually expanded. And now we have training programs where we actually train law enforcement. And then we have prevention education programming where we actually go into at-risk communities and we teach communities how to protect themselves. And then we also have aftercare programming, which mm-hmm. is really exciting. So we just saw that if you don't have resources to help victims move forward in their lives, they're often just left still very vulnerable to exploitation. And so we have a residential trauma-informed care program in Thailand called the Freedom Home that serves adult survivors and their kids, and have a 97% recidivism prevention rate there from the women that go into
That's
our
impressive.
Program.
Yep.
And our dream is to have that aftercare program in all the countries of operation in the next 5 years. So that's where we're headed.
You dropped a term on me, or a phrase that I'd never heard. It's called pig butchering. This is kind of out of left field here.
Yeah. You
know, audience is going, okay, what are we talking about now? Unpack that for us.
Yeah, it's a horrific trend in labor trafficking in Southeast Asia. If you Google it, there's beginning to be more and more data and journalistic resources around it. But essentially what happens is IT professionals from other countries are lured into Southeast Asian countries. It was in Cambodia, and now the big hub is Myanmar. And they're lured into the country. Usually they go into Thailand, and then they cross the border into Myanmar. Their passports get taken, and these young professionals end up in these compounds, and they are trapped, and they have to actually send those scam texts to usually an American audience or European audience, and they have to send thousands a day. And if they don't, then they get beaten, the women get raped, there's sex trafficking, there's all kinds of horrific abuse. And these individuals can't leave. So it's called forced criminality. They're being forced to actually do a crime because they're scamming people, but
right.
often, but they don't have the choice. They're stuck there doing that.
And the scams are like, you know, you're approved for a $400 million loan.
Exactly. Yep.
You know,
or meet me for coffee at 10. And you're like, who is this? And then they start the conversation. It's called pig butchering because essentially the idea is they want to, fatten up the pig before they butcher it. So they invest in these scam relationships to get people to trust them, to get people to have closer and closer relationships with them so that then they can get more cryptocurrency from them or scam them in greater ways. So it's significant. There are thousands and thousands of labor trafficking victims in Myanmar right now in these compounds.
And I would imagine older audiences are probably very susceptible to falling prey to this.
They really are. Yeah.
Right. So if you don't think human trafficking touches you because you're an older citizen or because, you know, you're in a certain part of town, you're incorrect. Because I get these messages. I know a lot of people do.
I do too.
You know, you get virtual assistant messages and all kinds of things. You're approved for a loan and this. And that's where a lot of these are originating.
A lot of them come from there.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, it's really interesting. My husband has started, since we were have been working these cases, my husband has started responding to some of those. And one time he actually had someone respond back to him. You know, he asked, he said, "Hey, are you doing this because you want to be doing it or something like that?" And the response back was no. And he said, "Where are you located?" And the person who responded back said the actual city where we know these compounds are in Myanmar.
Wow.
And they had this conversation. And then, of course, the person went dark on the other end.
They're
because
probably
everything's
gone.
Monitoring, you know, being monitored. But it's a significant thing. And human trafficking touches all of us in some way, shape, or form.
Stick around, folks. In the fourth quarter, we're going to talk to Laura about some of the methodology. We just heard about pig butchering. Interesting term, but now I understand why it's called that. She's co-founder and CEO of the Exodus Road. They're headquartered here in Colorado Springs, but they're all over the world. Check them out online, theexodusroad.com. We're back in a moment, so you can kind of get a sense for how these things play out with our kids here in Southern Colorado. Back in a moment.
Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. Bringing you world-class concerts and events all year round. Plus, looking for a venue for your next event? Check out bootbarnhall.com. Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. See you at the show.
When you listen to this station, you get the idea of why we exist and what we can do to make this a better place. We all know that America is not what it should be. The hosts of this channel are not willing to accept it the way it is. These hosts want to build America back and make this country the leader on the world stage. It can be done. Stick with us to find out how. AM 1460 and FM 101.1, The Answer.
All right, we're here in the fourth quarter, True North. I'm your host, Dirk Hobbs. It's about 8:45 here on a beautiful Saturday, March 8th, here in Southern Colorado. Thanks again to our great friends over at Boot Barn Hall and Notes Live for helping us meet great people in the community like Laura Parker, CEO and co-founder of the Exodus Road. If you've been listening to this conversation, hopefully you are dialed in emotionally, spiritually, and otherwise, because this touches us all, folks. It's labor trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, whatever moniker you want to put on it. It's out there, and it's affecting every one of us. Even if you get an email in your inbox that looks like a scam, those are actually farms of people who are trapped in remote parts of the world who have to send a number of those messages per day. Otherwise, they find themselves sideways with their traffickers. And it's not a happy ending, typically. So, Laura, glad you're with us and shining a light, a disinfectant light, on this horrific topic. But, you know, it's like anything else. We've got to talk about this. We've got to be open about it, or it's not going to get solved. It cannot be a taboo issue that we hide in the closet or in the corner. So, and it happens here in Southern Colorado. You know, when I have two daughters, right? So I'm particularly interested always what they're viewing online and things like that. Of course, they get agitated, you know, the privacy component, blah, blah, blah. You know, every parent can rehearse.
I get it. I've got three teenagers. I get it.
You know the drill. So, Laura, I mean, help us understand. I mean, it may not be on your back porch today, but at some point in your child's high school career, if you will, or tenure, they're going to come in contact with some aspect of it. Is that an accurate assessment?
It is an accurate assessment if your child has a cell phone.
And there it is. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. I mean, 80% of all child sex crimes start on social media today. Mm-hmm. And ever since really the COVID pandemic, the rates of online exploitation, which sometimes leads to actual human trafficking, but the rates of online exploitation, child enticement, predatory grooming has all just skyrocketed, and it continues to be just a major, major critical concern for our kids today.
Well, and just being aware of it, you know, we have a lot of K through 12 schools in this region, and the upperclassmen, you know, they're not all nefarious. Let's understand that. But there's bad eggs out there, and they are learning techniques on how to exploit the younger classmen. Is that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. It's happening. It's happening peer to peer. It's happening boyfriend to girlfriend. Sextortion is really on the rise. Sextortion is the, you know, it's essentially blackmail for a sext or nude that is sent.
Right.
That's really on the rise, and that happens oftentimes peer to peer. And sometimes it can happen. Someone, you know, a student is thinking they're communicating to a new boyfriend or girlfriend online, but really it's, you know, it's a predator in a back room that is running, you know, 10 different, you know, scams at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then kids get into these horrible situations where they're being extorted for money on Venmo or and threatened if you don't give me the money, then I'm going to post this picture on
sure.
Snapchat. I'm going to post this picture on Instagram. And it's a horrible thing for young people to have to deal with. You know, they don't, right. they don't understand the consequences mm-hmm. oftentimes for
yeah.
situations they get into.
And this is obviously this leads into the dark side of AI and, you know,
what
folks can generate without you even being there.
Yeah. We're at the brink of a lot of scary things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Pandora's box is definitely unlocked. But hopefully, do you feel like you have legislators on your side?
Yeah, we do. You know, we're really seeing people start to really take this seriously. You know, there was a big tech had a huge Senate hearing a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. which really started, I think, some good conversation nationally about the issue. I think a lot of times what we see is we see this real disconnect between what parents understand is happening online and what kids are actually seeing online. You know, there's a statistic that by the age of 14, 40% of kids will chat with a stranger in a private chat room online.
Right.
So it's, you know, the exposure, because kids are on their phones, the average is 8.5 hours a day.
Yeah.
So they're on their phones 8.5 hours a day, and they have access to everything. They have access to everything. And predators know that. You know, when we were looking at what's the prevention education project that we could do in the United States, we kept coming back to the online component, because in our own casework globally, over 70% of all of our cases have a social media component. And then just in the cases that we work with police, of actual human trafficking. Mm-hmm. And so we started looking at, okay, this is when we think who's most at risk in the United States, when we look at our kids, it really is kids that have access to a phone, mm-hmm. which is everyone.
Yeah.
They are all at
it
risk.
That's
because
right.
it's so easy to fall into all kinds of exploitation
sure.
online. And so this latest project that we're launching just this year in Colorado is called Influenced. And it's both education for parents around what to watch for and how to keep your kids safe online and how to have conversations with your kids about their digital habits and their digital health. And then it's also a program for students, grades 6 through 12, around how do you spot a predator? What are the red flags to do that, you know, when you see this in a conversation with someone, you should back up, or these are your rights. This is what to do if you get a nude, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited about that, because we feel like it's a really critical component today for American families.
Well, I appreciate that. So let's put the rubber where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So let's talk about how folks here locally, regionally, can get involved with the Exodus Road and come in contact with your programs, your educational platforms, and so forth.
Yeah. The easiest way is to go to theexodusroad.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
That just allows you to stay informed around our projects and our rescue stories. We have a pretty amazing newsletter list. The other way that you can help is you can go and visit influenced.org, mm-hmm. influenced.org, and that's our new program that we're launching around digital safety. So it'll have a lot of resources there. And then you can also call our office or email info@theexodusroad.com. And we love volunteers. We have volunteer opportunities. We also have an event coming up in April at Boot Barn. That's going to be super fun. It's on Freedom's Frontier, together on Freedom's Frontier. And there's going to be line dancing and all kinds of fun happenings. So that's another way you can get involved, is to show up to that April 20th event, and tickets are online.
What are we going to expect at that event? Is some education?
Yep.
I mean, what's that look
like? Great food, great connection. But yeah, we are going to be doing about a 20 or 30 minute presentation about the Exodus Road, about trafficking in Colorado specifically, and especially throughout El Paso County, and what we're doing to combat it. And then there will be line dancing, which will be fun. Lots of live music.
Gonna have to shift our mood.
All kinds of fun. Yeah, all kinds of fun. So yeah, it's going to be a really special night of connection in the community.
And also, I mean, you know, this is a great fundraising opportunity there. But how else can people make a contribution to you? You know, I would imagine being here in the cybersecurity capital of the world, here in Southern Colorado, we would have a lot of cyber companies interested in what you're doing. To even amplify.
Absolutely.
So you can thwart the efforts of these bad guys. Are those conversations happening?
Yeah, they actually are. But I would definitely say, if anyone is listening and has connections, please reach out to us directly, mention this podcast, and we'll get you to the right people. We do have an open source intelligence team of volunteers that is phenomenal. Right here, most of them are located here in Colorado Springs, and they actually help build target packages. They actually hunt down traffickers and evidence for us. So that's another way, if you have those skills and you'd like to get involved with us, we would welcome that.
Well, there's a lot of retired military here.
I know. We love our military friends.
Yes, I bet you do. There's a lot of alpha dogs out there. Mm-hmm. And if that warrior instinct is boiling up inside you now, good, because we did our job today on getting you excited and passionate about going and picking fights with bad guys. But you got to do it legally so you can make it stick. Laura, what are some of your closing remarks for folks? What would you have us do?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I have learned in this space is that people are often, it feels so dark and so scary that people are often scared to even look at it. And they're scared to look at it and really pay attention to what's happening. And then they're really scared to step in or step towards the issue. And I think the first step you have to do is you have to think about the own kids in your own community, in your own life, your own children, and think, okay, if her daughter over on the other side of the world, or over on the other side of Colorado Springs, who is being exploited, if that were my kid, or if that were the kid in my life, what's the kind of energy, what's the kind of work, what's the kind of sacrifice I would make to keep them safe? And then take that same energy and heart and passion and try to put that towards this issue and the margins right here in our own city. You know, there's so many kids that don't have families, and there's so many people that are on the margins, are friends in the homeless community.
That's right.
Are friends that are addicted. And those are oftentimes the people that are prime targets.
Those are the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and any move that you can make towards the margins of society, any connection you can make, any resources you can give to lift them up, that really is lifting up people out of potential exploitation situations. So I would say, keep looking, think about what you do with your own kids or their own children in your life, and use that same motivation to care about other people's kids and keep stepping towards the issue. There are lots of opportunities right here in our own city of ways that you can get involved. And so I would just say, have the courage to step in.
Laura Parker, co-founder, CEO of the Exodus Road, theexodusroad.com. Folks, we just scratched the surface here. Laura, thank you.
Absolutely.
Please come back, because I'd like to do maybe a quarterly update with you, just a quick call, see if we got some bad guys wrapped up. You've been listening to True North, and I appreciate you hearing us out on this heavy but very important topic, ladies and gentlemen. We're back next week. Have a great weekend in the meantime, folks. Take care.
You've been tuned in to True North. Till next time.
Fly me to the moon. three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.